You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Alan Hahn joins us now. You can hear him here on 98.7 ESPN. Him and Bart Scott, Monday through Friday. And of course, covering the Knicks. Alan, hi. It's been a hot minute. How are you?
Good, Anita. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. Congratulations. I hear is in order. Your son graduated from Taft,
yes,
prep school in Connecticut. You must be a proud papa.
Yes. Yeah. It's nice to see them, you know, move on to a point where it's like, okay, now it's up to you. You know, like, I've taken care of everything to this point. You're 18. Good luck. Isn't that how it's supposed to be?
Well, I mean, you've got, I have my own pack here with, you know, my five, unfortunately now four dogs. You've got your own pack of children.
Yes.
So yes,
and
I would imagine
dogs.
You must be thrilled that now one is 18 and is about to leave the nest. It makes things easier for you, I'm sure.
It does a little bit. Yeah. But he's the only boy. Now I have three girls and then him. So now I'm really outnumbered.
Yes, you are. Oh, that's going to be a fun household.
Yeah.
Again, Alan Hahn joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. All right, let's dive into it. We just heard Tibbs talk about, you know, he wants to give this city, wants to give this town something proud of. Who expected them to be here, let alone make it to the playoffs, Alan, let alone hosting the first round? Talk about, I mean, you know, this is icing on the cake, right?
So many people are saying that. They're using the term, the phrase house money, right? That's what they're feeling like, oh, you know, this is now anything that happens after this is house money. And then there's, you know, the thought of, well, wait a minute now, like, the standard has changed since we've seen this season go by and your expectations should with it. Now, wait a minute, you know, right? You're a fourth seed. So maybe there should be this idea that, hey, you've got to get out of the first round. Now you're the favorite. You're the higher seed. You're supposed to win this series. And now it becomes would it be a disappointment if they don't? It's hard to sell that to Knicks fans who've waited 8 years just to see their team in the postseason when you started the year thinking, if you could just get into the 7-10, right? That's all you were thinking at that point. Just get me into the 7-10, and I'll feel like, hey, okay, we're back in the league again. 2% chance by the ESPN Basketball Power Index at the start of the season just to make the playoffs. 2%. So all those odds you've overcome. Vegas, 22.5 was the over-under on the win total. Doubled it. Right? Blew that out of the water. So, you know, a lot of things that have been accomplished already, and you've got three members of the team that are finalists for awards. You've got Julius Randle, Most Improved. You've got Derrick Rose, Sixth Man of the Year. And you've got Tom Thibodeau as a Coach of the Year. Three guys all up for awards. So a lot of good things have happened. Good vibes, all that stuff. I just feel like, you know, I don't know if I want to say house money, but I do feel like you watch this with a different type of intensity that you might have the last time they made the playoffs in 2013, where you felt like this team's the oldest roster in the league. Everybody's old. You don't know how much time you've got with this group, so you better strike now. This more feels like the beginning of something. So it's almost like, let's see what this team can do here and then look forward to the offseason with $50 million in cap space, two first-round picks, and, you know, hopefully now a better outlook from other players outside of New York that might say, hey, I kind of want to be part of that. So that's where I feel like we are right now. You're at that point of, where does it go from here? And that's the exciting part of this.
Yeah, I'm absolutely. A few things I want to dive into in regard to this matchup with the Hawks. And I came across this great tweet the other day from John Schumann. And the 3-point percentage from last year to this year, yeah. Randle, 28% last year, this year, 41. Barrett, 32% last year, this year, 40. Rose, 30% this year, 39. Bullock, 33% last year, 41. That is 2nd, 10th, 11th, and 13th biggest jumps in 3-point percentage shooting. What gives, Alan? What happened? And we saw this happen after the All-Star break.
And then you have, yeah, Julius Randle's jump, you know, RJ becoming great. And by the way, RJ got to 40% shooting from three after going 0-for-21 in a stretch early in the season. Think about that for a minute. So it just shows you how much improved he got as the season went on. Anita, what you just read there is maybe exhibit A of why Tom Thibodeau should be Coach of the Year. Because Coach of the Year doesn't just go to a coach. It goes to the coaching staff. They all win it. I mean, they all share in it. It goes to the head coach by name, but the whole staff really, you know, they all celebrate it. And that's your exhibit A right there. Because they have gotten better. You don't look at this roster. And the Knicks are third, by the way, in three-point shooting in the NBA. Just let that marinate for a second, right? A team like that, third in the NBA in three-point shooting, percentage-wise. And it's why. They don't have anyone on the roster where you look up and down the roster and go, oh, they got some, you know, well-known three-point shooters here. I mean, look at these guys. No, no, none of them. Nobody you look at. Maybe Reggie Bullock. Maybe. Was one guy that had a history of maybe of being a decent three-point shooter. But they've got like four or five guys that are 40% three-point shooters this year, and they're third in the league. Why? Because of the practice. Because of the work. Because of the time they've put in. Because of how they've where they started to where they are now. That's literally what coaching is, and that's why. That's your Exhibit A of why Tom Thibodeau and his staff should win Coach of the Year.
It's really been remarkable. Again, Alan Hahn joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Listen, there's no denying that this Hawks team has gotten better with the coach change, and of course when Trey Lance got healthy and came back. When you look at this matchup, I think it's one of the best matchups of all the post game series that we can see, because both these teams very, I think, equally balanced in how they could counter one another. But you know, there's a number of analysts out there who do believe that the Hawks are going to win this series.
Yep.
Give us your thoughts on what you think the Knicks absolutely positively need to do. Give me like two or three keys to this series that you feel the Knicks have to do in order to make sure they win this series, Alan.
Well, you're correct that it's a very evenly matched series, despite the fact the Knicks won all three games during the regular season. Throw that out the window. Because, you know, there were the first game, the Hawks didn't have their whole roster available to them. In the third game, they lost Trae Young in the third quarter while up by double figures. That's a huge part of it. You have to keep that stuff in mind. So they are evenly matched. The Hawks don't have an answer for Julius Randle. They don't. He averaged 37 a game in three games against them, and John Collins is on an island against him. He can't guard him. So they got to figure out how to stop him. And on top of it, Trae Young and Clint Capella have a great pick and roll that the Knicks absolutely could not handle in that third game about a month ago. They couldn't stop it until Trae Young rolled his ankle and left the game, and then everything changed. So those are the number one thing the Knicks have to do is they have to figure out how to contain that pick and roll. You have to decide which one you want to do. Are you going to chase him over the screen and allow then the big has to help, and then you're leaving Capella up for lobs, which he's so great at finishing? How are you going to stop that? Because if you go under the screen, Trae Young has proven he can make that shot. Now, he makes it at about 36% clip, so will you live with him taking, you know, a 5 feet off the line threes rather than giving up the lob? That's what I'm curious to see how they do it. Because the other problem is that Trae Young gets to the free throw line a ton. He gets it only 8 to 10 times a game, and he makes them. He's a high percentage free throw shooter. So that is everything to watch in this series. It is Julius Randle continuing to dominate the basketball. Doesn't always have to be as a scorer. But if they now start sending doubles because they know they can't stop one-on-one, okay. When he passes off, whether it's Reggie Bullock, whoever it is, R.J. Barrett, they've got to knock down shots. And it's postseason now. It's playoffs now. Those are bigger shots. There's more intensity behind them. So, A, can they continue to dominate the Julius Randle matchup? B, can they stop the pick and roll with Trae Young and Clint Capella? Those are the very first two things that I'd be watching, especially in game one.
Here's another factor that I'm really and we'll get a feel for this right in the first 5-7 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
And that is the officiating.
Yes.
I feel that the officials need to let the Knicks play. If they do, I think that'll be great. We know their physicality, we know how good they are on defense. If they start calling these ticky-tack fouls,
correct,
that's advantage Atlanta right there.
100% true. That is absolutely true, because the Knicks have scored 124 points a game against the Hawks. They can score. But it's their defense that has been their calling card all year, the best defense in the NBA. And as we know in the playoffs, it does get more physical. We saw it yesterday, right? They will let you play more physical. But we also saw games where there's a couple of calls early and now a key player is in foul trouble. And that changes everything. So you're right. I'm watching that from the moment this series begins, is what's the tone being set?
Mm-hmm.
And are they going to allow the Knicks to be a little more like, are they going to call, you said ticky-tack, and you're right, and that's Trae Young. I call them their fender bender fouls. What he does is once he gets you on his hip, all of a sudden he just stops short. And there's no reason for him to stop short. There's nobody in front of him. But he stops short because he knows he's got you on the hip and he's got momentum. And if you bump him, that's a foul. But that's a regular season foul. Will they call it in the playoffs because they let you play a little more physical? So you're absolutely right with that. The other thing to watch in the first 5 minutes, the crowd impact.
Mm.
Neither team has played in front of a crowd this large in well over a year. And then you've got the playoffs and the intensity of New York and how long these people have waited for a playoff game. Those tickets sold out in 20 minutes. So that's the other thing. The other factor to watch is, can the Knicks ride the emotion of the crowd? Or, because they are a fairly young team and not a lot of guys in this team have playoff experience. In fact, neither team, there's not a lot of guys with playoff experience. Will they be overcome by it because of the emotion? Will they be too jacked up and maybe get into foul trouble because they're just trying to do too much? And, you know, will the shots be too strong early on because you just want it so bad because the building is shaking? Other thing to find, to watch. Sometimes the crowd is, obviously, you ride the wave of a crowd, but you never know. The crowd can also not turn against you, but can work against you because you just want it too much because the intensity is so high. That's something certainly to watch in the first 5 minutes of this game tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I opened up the show and was just recapping what happened with the Nets beating Boston and shared some of the comments that Harden said. You know, the Nets started a little slow. They were a little off the first half. They came out 18-4 run in the second half. But he said getting used to the fans that were there yesterday was really a hurdle. And we played a clip from Kyrie as well, and he alluded to the fans. This is why I like the Knicks tonight. A lot of people are on the Hawks. A lot of handicappers are on the Hawks, Alan. I like the Knicks, and I think, you know, 15,000, is there, from what I understand, the tickets were selling out at such a fast pace that that they sold more tickets. What do you know right now what the expected crowd number is going to be at the Garden tonight?
Yeah, I believe it's just shy of 15,000. I know they're going with the capacity percentage. So I believe I don't think it's going to be 15 on the nose, but it's 15,000. But what do you think of the fact that this is a pick'em series? I mean, even tonight, it's basically a pick'em. The last I saw, it's just basically Knicks laying one. Like, that's as pick'em as you get, right? Like, this is straight up just who do you think's going to win?
I like the Knicks. And again, I mean, for a number of reasons, you know, I'm a believer in defense. I love how Thibodeau has these guys playing. I love that it's at the Garden.
Yep.
You alluded to it. Fans have been, I mean, they're going to be salivating. They've been waiting for this for years now. 15th, and I think it's going to take a minute. Here's how I'm playing this. I like the Knicks in the first half. I think the same thing is going to happen with the Hawks that we heard Harden and Kyrie allude to. It's going to take them a minute to get used to playing in that type of environment. Mm. And so I like the Knicks to be up in the first half. I'm going to play the Knicks as well. I like the Knicks to win this series in six. I know you've got a busy day ahead of you, so let's end on this. I'm curious, long-term, big picture here in regard to the series, how do you see this series playing out, Alan?
Yeah, I'm with you on the six. I do think that six is where I'll take this at this point, taking the Knicks there. I think it could go seven, though. I'll take six with an asterisk, because the other thing to think about crowd-wise is that when the Knicks go to Atlanta, whatever size crowd they have there, it's generally going to be mostly New Yorkers and mostly Knicks fans. That has been historically a Knicks crowd down there in Atlanta, and I think that also plays well to a young Knicks team going on the road in a playoff game.
Interesting. All right, and even bigger picture. Who do you? Because I haven't spoken to you in quite a while. It's great to hear your voice, my friend. And again, congratulations with the graduation with your son. Who do you? I have the Nets winning this, and I got them. I want to say at 2-1. For whatever reason, they're plus 240 now.
Yep.
Maybe I need to double down. But who do you have winning this entire thing?
Yeah, I think Brooklyn takes this thing. And my curiosity is who comes out of the West, because I think that'll decide how easily it'll go for them. But it just feels to me like with those big three, nobody can just match up with that firepower. Not long enough anyway, not in a seven-game series. So as long as they stay healthy, they should be the odds-on favorite. I'm curious to see who comes out of the West, though, because that could change how I feel about the finals.
You're giving the Suns a chance to upset the Lakers in this series?
No, not a chance. No, gentlemen's sweep.
Okay. Alan, again, thank you so much. Great to hear your voice, and enjoy the game tonight.
Thanks, Anita. All the best.
You got it.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.